Giannis tried to jump the passing lane, but it got safe for the Horford. He returns to Rozier, switches to the right hand, kick out Jaylen Brown. A good night three, and he banks it in.
Off the window. Off the window. Window to the wall.
And Jaylen Brown all smiles because he knows he got away with that one.
For the players, it's a slam dunk. But after the game, it's slammed drunks.
Hey, no woman ever represents
the U.S. This is the Toucher and Rich Drunken Celtics Recap on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That was a three-point bank shot. You don't see many of those.
That was good because it's by accident.
And even as they were saying there, he just started laughing.
Yeah.
Like, well, that was strange.
Yeah. You don't see a lot of them because it's really, they're a little off on the thing. And the professional basketball players, yeah, I was saying earlier in the show, I'm not convinced this team's not better than the team that they had last year.
I'm starting to come around, and the factor being, my whole thing was that last year, people seem to forget, and maybe it's the bad taste that was left in people's mouth on how Isaiah Thomas left, is just what a phenomenon he was and what a scoring machine. But there's just so many more options for scoring
they're,
now.
They're much deeper, but the problem is the East is much deeper now, so no prediction that they'll make the Eastern Conference Finals, but this might be a deeper, better team than last year.
I'm starting to wonder if, are all these teams beatable with what you have? With what the Boston Celtics have, are these teams beatable?
If you got to play Philadelphia and they're playing everybody.
Well, the Heat just beat Philly.
Yeah, but with Embiid.
It's one game, and Embiid didn't play, and Dwayne Wade cared. If you could tell me Dwayne Wade's going to show up for the entire series, then maybe you have something, but
I don't think he can.
That's part of it. Physically, he's probably not able to, and I just don't know if Spoelstra can get him to focus for 2 weeks here.
You know who you have to have for that Philly series? You have to have Marcus Smart, because I think they're an emotionally fragile team. They're young, and I think Marcus is going to be able to crawl in their head and make them do stupid things.
I don't know. I'm watching Philadelphia. I just think it all arrived for them this year.
Well, then let me ask you this. If they were to make
the Celtics are the underdog in that series. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Fine.
Sure. As a matter of fact, I mean, of course they are, but if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, they being the Celtics, what's the more impressive Brad Stevens feat?
This one. This one is more impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one is more impressive.
You got your third string point guard.
You lost Hayward at the beginning. You lost Irving. You lost Marcus Smart, who's your best defensive perimeter player. And you're still, you know, knocking people out here.
And one of your star players is 19.
Yeah.
Is Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
I mean,
you have a second year player scoring 30 a game.
Jaylen Brown has taken over.
This is far and away a more impressive thing that you're doing.
I mean, the fact that Jaylen Brown has become a superstar during this series is fairly impressive.
Well, you saw two teams last night, one that obviously came and they were prepared and they were coached extremely well. And then you had one team that had two guys that were trying and then a bunch of people who were lost, including a coach.
Joe Prunty is woefully outclassed
Without a doubt. And you heard it in the locker room. Even he said, the coach said afterwards, that there were only a couple guys who put in the effort. I mean, he's calling out his own players.
It wasn't even that. It's the offense was completely unimaginative. The offense for three quarters of the game was give it to Giannis, clear out a side, and let him work. And then it was get the ball to Chris Middleton and let him shoot over traffic.
Yeah. And then you got Terry Rozier, once again, a third string guy who hadn't just started, what, a month ago? Was the first time he was a regular starter?
Yeah.
Okay, so a month ago he starts and he's absolutely killing Bledsoe. So Bledsoe was asked in the locker room afterwards, what do you think about what Rozier's been able to do?
Well, I think Jaylen...
Oh, here it is, right here.
Terry Rozier's gotten off a strong start to the series, no turnovers in 78 minutes. How personally do you take that matchup?
Who?
Terry Rozier.
I don't even know what that is.
The guy that made a middle school move on you and got you to fall back to the free throw line
so you could
take an open three.
Right, as you sat back and just watched him and he had a snack.
That it wasn't exactly like Rucker Park in New York.
It wasn't an and-one mixtape move. That's true.
He went between his legs and Bledsoe just went, I'm going to sink back to the free throw line and then just kind of put my shoulders down and watch you take the shot.
I just love the way the question was phrased too. So here's the deal. You're defending him, and he hasn't had a turnover in 78 minutes. Why do you suck? was basically the question.
Why don't you reverse where you're going, see he's shooting, and at least make an attempt to attack the basketball?
How about a hand up? How about trying to get a hand up for a shot that means the game? Yeah. So you thought it did.
I mean, you got to run up and defend. I mean, you had a... You let him sit there and consider it for 2 seconds. In that time, you could at least make a move to attack.
He's so damn streaky. Watch, like, in game three, he's going to, like, rip off, like, 30.
It would be the way Bledsoe has been his entire career, but if Prunty is smart, he'll start Brogdon in game three.
Yeah.
All right, so Bird was out in front of the Garden, and he was talking to the Celtics fans. And a cold night where Anthony Rizzo doesn't want to play baseball.
And on top of that, they were up by 20 at one point, and it sounded like the Garden was going to explode. That's usually a game, you know, when it's that much of a beatdown where, you know, people, they get excited and then it kind of comes back. The end of that game, it was loud as hell, and you could hear it on TV.
So here is Bird. He is talking to the excited fan base out in front of the Garden.
This is for radio.
Ah! Are you crazy? From 99, what? Why, where you from? Father Forge, Bob, 98.
I think this guy has had a drink.
I think he's had a pill.
That's also a possibility. Or maybe both.
I don't think this is so
excited. He's mixing.
So excited to see Bird.
I just love right out of the
gate. You want to grind up some Adderall?
Right out of the gate. That's his answer. Kick your uses for the radio.
Yeah.
Come here, take one of these.
What's up, dude?
Father Forge, Bob, 98.5.
Stop. Stop. Cops, tell me to stop. We have to stop.
All right, what do you think of the Celtics game tonight?
Oof. Imagine having dinner with that guy. How's the soup?
All right, what you think of the Celtics game tonight?
All right, thank you. Can you please calm down, sir?
It's like the Celtics version of Rock and Roll Mike.
It is.
See this gentleman running. I have a feeling Bird had to try to tail him a little bit.
What do you... I hear Betty White was your favorite Golden Girl. You got that right.
What do you think about the sports game tonight?
It's amazing.
The sports game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think this guy was there. This doesn't sound to me like this man made it into the building.
He just needed a place to hoop and holler? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he was rooting, tooting, hooping, and hollering.
It's Yosemite Sam.
No. I don't think there's any way this guy was in the Garden. I think he just, you know, just wanted to be part of the scene.
How do you think about the sports game tonight?
It's amazing.
It was on friggin' off the hizzy.
Stepping in a time machine from 1998.
What do you think of a 60-year-old man?
What do you think about the new Zan Fear album?
Hizzy!
Someone said, good to see the lead singer of AC/DC main game, too.
Is you're saying Bon Scott faked his death?
Possibly, yes.
And then he is back at it?
Could be.
You know that how that would feel?
Stop! Hizzy!
It would be off the hizzy, yes.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Who's your MVP for the night?
Me.
You?
I'm the MVP.
Nice. Why are you the MVP?
Because I'm a Celtics fan and I'm off the hook.
Again, referencing.
How long do we get a wazah?
Outdated hip-hop lingo.
And I'm off the hook.
Did we find Guy Fieri? Did somehow he go to the Celtics because the head chef?
Did he have a big clock around his neck?
If you say anything to Coach Stevens, what would it be?
He's awesome. He is the best coach in the world. And you know what? I am the best coach. I'm the coach that makes you. Oh, here we go.
We're walking.
Woo!
Walking across the street.
We're walking.
How come I have a feeling Bird saved this man's life? That if Bird was not with him, this guy's just walking right into a moving automobile.
Right, he's like dancing around and just jumps in front of a train with a smile on his face.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He's like, oh, smack.
Time to get my disability!
Right, what's the last thing you heard before the train hit this gentleman going 80 miles an hour?
That's, you know, that's money in his hands, you know? He's seeing that.
How huge is it for the Celtics to win a road game?
Oh, we're going to win. We're going to win without a doubt. Without a doubt, we are the Celtics.
Now, have you seen Aztec Geno at all? I've been looking for him. You know who he is?
Who?
Aztec Geno?
No. Who is he?
He's a super fan, just like you.
Yeah, not like me. There's no super fan like me.
Really?
I'm Harry Vaughn from Somerville, Massachusetts, and there's no Somerville fan like me ever.
Oh, I don't know who that is. He's a lawyer. He's been defending hedge fund managers for many, many years.
Sir, I only have one thing to say in this gentleman's defense.
Can you imagine the ad? Oh, God. The people, the government's looking into our finances. We have this hedge fund. Who do we get?
And there's no Somerville fan like me ever!
Okay.
No super fan like me.
Really?
I'm Harry Vaughn from Somerville, Massachusetts.
And I'm here to represent you.
From Somerville, Massachusetts. And there's no Somerville fan like me ever. You know that, right?
Yes, I do, sir.
You know it now.
Yes.
And I'm giving you notice.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Jeez.
Oh. All right. All well, right. Listen. People very excited out in front of the game yesterday.
It's a lot of, little white things going around, apparently.
Well, blues and pinks. You never know what
you don't know what color those ones are.
Right. All right. Mike Gorman's going to join us.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone. On the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Seconds to go. Brogdon, pass deflected by Tatum and picked up by Rozier. He'll go the distance and slam it with the right hand.
Let's keep turning that basketball over. Boy, that is hurting him.
Another double-digit first half in turnovers for Milwaukee. That's 10. And that's how you shoot 64% and find yourself down by 9.
Well, I think Jalen loves the moment. I think he really appreciates the opportunity to compete on this stage and at this level. And we've seen him against the better teams in the league all year be able to really raise his level in some of the biggest games. He's gaining more experience by the minute. He lived quite a lot last year. He did a great job of, again, picking the right spots to attack tonight.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge June 1st and 2nd. Register today at teamtombrady.com. Mike Gorman, a mensch, as they say. A true mensch. And obviously you know him from the broadcast over there on NBC.
Of your Boston Celtics.
Each and every one of you has a place in the heart of the Boston Celtics. Many of you bleed green, which you should get looked at. But Mr. Mike Gorman, hello.
Hello there. Where are we going with this conversation?
We're going right. You know what? We're going right to hoops.
Right to hoops.
All I'm going to take you right down the little razzle dazzle Hoopville. Okay.
All right. It was good to hear that Eric Bledsoe quote, because Rozier had been so open all night long. At least we know now it's a case of mistaken identity.
Okay, let's talk about, first of all, that shot at the end, or what we thought was going to be the end of game one, where Rozier hits the three-pointer and with a half second left in the game, which I think most people, obviously, unless you believe in miracles, which we ended up seeing a couple seconds later, everyone thought it was going to be the final shot. Just how bad was Bledsoe on that play against Rozier?
I don't know what's going on with him. He's had a nightmare series. He is just—he's never in the right place at the right time. He forces shots. He just tries to bully his way to the basket. I mean, this is a guy who, the last 2 weeks of the season, I think, had a couple of 35 point nights. And had some big games when Milwaukee needed games to get into the playoffs, and now has suddenly turned into just the invisible man. I'm really surprised that I expected much more out of this team.
Real quick, how much of that is because there's obviously a lot of talent. I mean, they're loaded with talent on the Bucks, but how much of that is Brad Stevens being a really good coach, and how much of it is Joe Prunty seeming to basically just be a bad coach? I mean, he hasn't done anything right as far as schemes, and he hasn't fixed a lot of the problems
the
that they've been encountering.
The offense has been really unimaginative.
It has been.
Yeah, it has been. And, you know, I don't know Joe Prunty. I know his background. He certainly has good credentials. He was in the Popovich system for a long time. I think won another championship at Dallas. So, he's got experience. I think the problem is there that these guys know he's not going to be back next year as the coach, so they're just not paying a whole lot of attention to him, and they're just going out and playing kind of schoolyard basketball. It's kind of like if Giannis can get his shot, then he gets a shot every time up the court. If he can't get a shot, Middleton gets the shot. And if Middleton can't get a shot, they turn it over. That seems to be the extent of their offense.
Mike, it occurred to me last night when I was watching the game that this team, despite the injuries to Irving and to Hayward, might be better than the team last year just because of the depth.
Yeah, you could. I think I agree with you on that. Actually, yeah.
Of course, you do. We're both brainy basketball savants.
What you see here, you know, we really don't see in sports all that much, and that is a case where a team lost its superstars, and as a result, it kind of gathered around, bonded around the coach, and was kind of like, "What do we do?" And Brad's like, "I got answers. You just listen to them and execute them, and this will work." And they did, and it does. So I think he'd hate this, but most of the credit for what's going on the court right now goes to Brad Stevens. I mean, the players are Jalen's having a great series. Rozier's having a great series. Hopefully people will finally stop talking about Al Horford. If you look at the numbers, shooting 60% from the floor, 67% from the line, from three, 88% or something from the line. And it's as coming as close as you can to give Antetokounmpo some serious problems. So, again, it's a long-winded answer. I think it's a case of a lot of guys who, you know, thought, wow, we're screwed here. We just lost our best players. And somebody said, no, if you follow me over here, we can still win. And they did, and they do.
All right, so now Milwaukee has to make some kind of adjustment by Friday, and one of them that is glaring is Eric Bledsoe should get less playing time and Malcolm Brogdon should get more playing time. I understand Brogdon turns the ball over a lot, but it can't be any more than what we've seen in the first two games.
No, and that would give you some minutes for Dellavedova, who I think also needs to play if you're Milwaukee. I mean, he's a kid who knows how to play in big games. I don't know whether there's any adjustments really to be made. I mean, if the Celtics can get game three, obviously this could be over real quick. You know, the building will be loud. They'll be pumped up. It's, you know, you got to survive that first quarter and a half and still be within shouting distance. But, you know, double-digit deficits haven't bothered this team before, so there's no reason to think it would bother them now if they get one in Milwaukee. But I thought this was going to be a 6 or 7-game series. Now I'm thinking more like 5.
Okay, I am another game I've been... Another
and Gordon Hayward's not coming back, by the way.
I was just about to ask you that. I'm going to ask Danny that anyway tomorrow. just to bug him.
Maybe
just
he'll have his, you know, joke around like Stevens
did. Let's keep the track record going, baby. I'm not going to... where, you know, we've done it, what, like 16 weeks in a row, I think. So let me ask you about the series with the Cavs, because I always root for LeBron to lose, but even more so in this series, because when you said at the beginning of the year that you didn't think that the Cavaliers would make the Eastern Conference Finals, you got a lot of crap from a lot of people. Like, I mean, freezing cold takes, that Twitter account was like, we're going to remember this one, we're holding on to this, rah, rah, rah. And sure enough, they came out listless. Now, can obviously he flip a switch? Absolutely he could. But, my God, I just wanted to shove it in everyone's face so badly that you were right on this one. What did you get from that game? Do you think it's completely out of control, or do you think there might be something still left in the tank and they can take over the Pacers?
I think LeBron is capable of raising his offense up higher than it is right now, but I don't think he's capable of getting the other 13 guys on the roster to concentrate on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, giving up 33 points in the opening quarter of the playoffs at home to Indiana, I think that's what they had. Scal's been saying, oh, they'll flip the switch. They're going to flip the switch. There's going to be a brief spark of light, and then it's like, see you later. I really don't think they're going to get – I don't think they – I don't want to say it because they'll just show up on Twitter. I think they're going to struggle against the Pacers here over the next week and a half.
That's all right. So you think they're not going to beat the Pacers?
I think the Pacers got a real shot.
Give us the quote, damn it.
No, they got a shot. They got a puncher's chance.
Mike, you've been in the business long enough. I don't think this is really going to damage you in
Mike,
any way.
Mike, now you've done it. Now you've really done it. You put your foot in the mouth, your mouth for the last time, buddy. This is going to have some...
Right there on my knee, pushing hard.
That's right. This is
did you order the code red?
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys do in your personal life.
So, all right, how you liking playoff Rondo? You a big fan of that series? That's been fun to watch.
I'm a huge fan of that series. I've always been a Rondo guy. You guys know that. I'm so happy to see him doing well. And what do you have, 17 assists in the first game, and yep. Another big game last night. He's a very, very talented kid when he wants to play.
I'm conflicted by that series because I like watching that team. They're very likable, and what Anthony Davis does. And Drew Holiday's been fantastic. But I just know that with every series they win, it may just lessen the chance that Anthony Davis would want to leave and possibly become a Celtic.
Yeah, Joe Myers, who does the television broadcast down there, is a longtime friend of mine. I talk to him a lot. And he's just Mike, it's just not going to happen. The kid likes it here. He wants to stay here. He likes it here. And again, they take a run in the playoffs here. They get Cousins back next year. Why leave?
Well, because you got Brad Stevens, and you could possibly be the best team in the East at that point, whereas the West is extremely packed full of talent, and it would be a lot harder to end up making it to the finals if you've stayed with the Pelicans.
Okay. Those are all valid arguments, but I think the one that wins out is the one that he's in right now. It's always easier to stay put than to make the radical change.
And finally, Marcus Smart, how fun is it going to be if they make it to round two, and let's say they go up against the 76ers, isn't that a team that it would be perfectly susceptible to Marcus Smart completely getting in their heads?
Yes, without question. We really miss him a lot. But yes, I agree with you 100%. I would like to see a Boston-Philly series where both teams really think they can win it. That would be a lot of fun.
All right, Mike Gorman, Supermensch. Yes, out
Super
there,
Mensch.
Yeah, that's actually the name of a documentary. But nonetheless, I'm putting it on you, Supermensch, out there changing lives, calling games,
making bold quotes,
bold quotes,
bold predictions.
Sitting there agonizing over Twitter every day.
That's all I do every day.
That's
just
right.
Keep hitting the button.
Yeah, it's just you get. What are they saying? But, Mike Gorman, it is always a pleasure, sir. We look forward to talking to you next week, and hopefully we're talking about a new series.
All right, sounds good. See you.
All right, take it easy. You, there you go, Mike Gorman. All right, well, listen, Adam Schefter has come out with a little information on Tom Brady.
This is legit concerning.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so this just came out.
Moments ago, hot off the presses.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have that for you, the information on Tom Brady. But first, headlines.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just wants, you know, he tells me, I love it so much, and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. I'll just read you what's out there.
Yeah, this just came out, and
it probably means nothing, but it does show you.
Schefter, I think, is like kind of tight with the Brady camp, right? So it almost sounds like Brady's camp wants this story to be out there. So
yes.
Whether or not, and I'm with you, Fred, I don't believe what you're about to read is going to come to fruition.
No, but none of this is going away.
None of this is good.
Ever since the Wickersham article, nothing has gone on to believe. Everyone who insulted Wickersham and called into question that article, now we're in April. When was that article written? December?
Yeah.
Okay.
December or the beginning of January,
right,
I forget.
Fair enough. But it's been months, and obviously nothing has really improved. It says New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady still has not committed to playing in 2018, even though people who know him believe he will be back for the coming season. The lack of official word from Brady, either privately or publicly, has left some to admit that while they believe he will play in 2018, they cannot say for sure. Quote, my money would be on him playing football in the foreseeable future, but what goes on away from the football field, I don't know. There's no question that Brady wants to play football, but he turns 41 in August, wants to spend more time with his family, and there are people around him who would rather see him retire.
His wife.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
people around him. Yeah, the kids want him to retire, too.
Yeah. Unless, and I know this is kind of a weird thing, maybe Guerrero does because he wants to go ahead and get this TB12 thing launched. Like, because I know he wants this basically to be the new CrossFit. He wants in every city there to be TB12 clinics. You know, maybe that's one of the other people who wouldn't mind it if there was a retirement.
Plus, he's like a guru to Brady. It's sort of cultish, obviously, what's going on over there. So it's hard to understand exactly how much power Guerrero has over Brady. I mean, you could look at it, and obviously Guerrero wants Brady to start these franchises with him and has Brady believing that it's not only a money-making enterprise, that it's also a way of life. I bet you that he thinks it sort of could save humanity. I bet you that he thinks that this is a system that will, like, improve the world.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the Scientology thing.
Right.
But this is crazy. So think about this. And it kind of goes into more people are saying, they get a couple other sources that are close to Brady who are saying the same thing. We think he's probably going to do it, but it is strange that he has not committed and hasn't told anyone publicly or privately that he's going to go on. But here's what's the most insane thing about all this. This is all over the access of a trainer to players on the Patriots. That's all this is over. Unless it's some sort of power play to get Belichick out, which would be even more insane, but I don't think that's the case. This right now is all over Alex Guerrero being allowed in the locker room and on the sidelines.
How much of this
is over something that, from the outside looking in, wouldn't, in my mind, be a source for a major mutiny. But, Mike, this is the strangest thing. If you would have told me this a year ago, I wouldn't have believed you.
Rob Gronkowski currently sitting out. He wants more money. Brady, as we all know, has been vastly underpaid over his entire career.
I don't believe it's a money thing.
Hold on, no. Cash-wise, he's ranked 20th among quarterbacks this year.
I think
his base salary is less than $15 million. Why can't this simply be a power play to get the Patriots off their asses and sign him to a contract extension?
I don't think it's about money.
Why not? Why can't it be?
I mean,
it can be both, Rich.
It can be part of it, but I'm telling you.
Look, I want more money, and oh, by the way, I have this young business that I want to get off the ground. I can always go do that.
Okay, so
why can't it be both?
Let's say the Patriots go to Tom Brady, and they say, all right, we're going to give you a couple more $1 million a year, but in return, we were not going to let Alex Guerrero in the locker room. Does he say yes?
I don't think it's going
to. Does he have to have both?
The negotiations are more than that. Honestly, if you look at Brady, and we keep running a promo over and over again, Tony Maserati saying this is the first time where Brady has really had the upper hand on management. There's no backup plan. You know, Brian Hoyer's a nice piece, but with him, they lose three or four more games.
And they probably don't do this with Garoppolo.
This is Brady's deal. Garoppolo's still here.
Brady doesn't do this. Right.
This is Tom Brady saying, for the first time, I have the advantage. Pay me.
All right, Dave, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, guys.
After listening to this, it's just, you know, I've already been
sorry, man. Your phone's breaking up. Yeah. But what he's going to say is that this is Robert Kraft's fault.
Well, it sort of is because Robert Kraft facilitated the trade of Garoppolo, and that gave Tom Brady the upper hand. Because again, Brady's a competitor. I don't doubt that he wants to play football. Ideally, that's what he would want to do, and the competitor in him would not want to skip these practices to give Garoppolo any kind of juice in that organization.
And Fred, it's also Robert Kraft's job to sit these guys down. Belichick, Brady, he's got to do it again. It didn't work.
But I don't think
he's got to sit them down and say, we are going to figure out a solution here, and we're going to make this work.
It puts him in a position where that's going to offend Belichick. Belichick's going to say,
then what happens? You let it fester and more of this stuff keeps coming out?
You've
got to fix it.
I think
that's the toughest
Robert
part about being an owner.
An owner should stay out of these matters, and he caused this. and an owner shouldn't get involved in personnel matters. I mean, look at Dallas. An owner should sit back, and especially if they have someone like Belichick who's had that success, should just stay out of the way.
It's more than a personnel matter at this point. It is your franchise player, the face of your organization.
But
it's Tom Brady that you pissed off.
You've given full control to Bill Belichick. You've had all this success, unparalleled success, and now, I mean, what are you going to sit him down? And what is he just going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, okay.
Do you believe that Robert Kraft basically nudged Bill Belichick to trade Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think there was an ultimate. That he made him.
Okay, he's been doing this before. Then he's been meddling.
No, and when it comes to Brady, and now the damage is done. And if I'm Belichick, I'm saying go screw. You made me trade Garoppolo, and now you're going to sit me down and try to appease Brady.
So what happens?
I just
then?
Appeased you.
So what happens then? And you're right. Listen, on the paper, that sounds like it would be the right solution.
I don't think that Kraft can fix this. I think that Kraft helped this whole problem along. I mean, we know for a fact that the Krafts look at Brady as this holy person, that like a son of theirs. They really don't like it when you insult Tom Brady. I can tell you that for sure. But and I think that he overstepped his bounds, and it pissed off Belichick, and now there's nothing you can do. Yes.
The other part of all of this is, think about the timing of this particular announcement. The NFL draft is next week.
Yes.
And all of these quarterbacks are in the top half of the draft. We're going to have Jason LaCanfora on next hour, who kind of plays into all of this. And this news really plays into the mock draft that LaCanfora put out a couple of days ago.
He has them trading up to 10 and taking Josh Rosen, who he believes he will fall.
So, I mean, we'll get a pretty good read on how the Patriots feel about this with how they react to the first round in a week. I mean, if they trade up and get a quarterback, this is absolutely real, and this is absolutely a problem.
Because
they have a lot of needs everywhere, and they have four picks in the first two rounds. The conventional wisdom is you stay put, you fill in a lot of holes, left tackle, linebacker, tight end, whatever the case may be. But if you use those two first-rounders, jump up into the top 10 and take a quarterback, then it's on. Then this Brady thing is real, and the Patriots are worried about it.
Yeah, because what I've read is that Allen and Darnold, you take your pick 1-2, and that the Jets are in love with Baker Mayfield. So that is what has come out. And obviously there's a lot of misinformation that comes out around the draft, but that is what I've been reading, is that the Jets have their hearts set on Baker Mayfield. So if there's a chance Josh Rosen falls.
Somewhere between 7 and 10, the Patriots have the ammunition to go up and get it. So we'll find out real soon.
Yeah, because he's not going to get taken at 4. He's not going to get taken at 5. Or no, 5's Denver?
Yes.
Perhaps he gets taken by Denver. But who knows?
Are you, real quick, before we break, are you scared that the two top players on this team are having somewhat of a revolt against Bill Belichick?
Yes, sure. Yes.
Your two any best other team offensive players.
Other than the Patriots, what does that usually mean for the future of the coach?
It means that they're not there. They're going to be there for very long.
Means that they've lost control over your best players, and his ability to lead is in question.
Man, Kraft's got to. I'm telling you, and I know you and I disagree.
This is a problem.
Kraft's got to step in and do something.
This is a problem that needs fixing fast.
And Kraft just can make it worse. He should have just stayed out of the way.
Then who's going to make it better?
I don't know.
Belichick's the only one that can, and he's not going to.
Right, and I think that if Kraft asks him to, he's going to get even more pissed off, and it's going to get even worse. He can't cave to Guerrero now. He can't give up that control.
Someone's got to bend.
Well, if they can get Rosen in the draft, he can go, screw you.
I know.
Then I'll play Rosen.
Belichick's too far down that track, and as we keep saying, it's always worked.
And Brady's going to laugh.
All these years, it's always worked. He's not changing.
Then you can kind of see it from his point of view. Then don't play.
I understand
that.
That's
the end of Brady?
I understand that.
Sure. If he's that concerned about Alex Guerrero, and Belichick says no, then his only option is to retire.
It would be the most Patriots thing ever to let this fester, draft a quarterback in the top 10, go get a tight end at the beginning of round 2, and say, okay, guys, do your best.
And then you've lost Tom Brady.
Here are your replacements.
Well, again, the league has lost Tom Brady. All right, we will be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
Again, Adam Schefter is a report that Tom Brady has not committed to playing football. This coming season, the people around him believe that he will, but there is pressure Within his family, obviously, not to do it.
It doesn't say family. It says people close to him, just to kind of...
His family.
Yeah, which does sound like a hell of a lot
Giselle
like his family.
Giselle was pretty public about that. Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious.
I don't think I'm really stretching the truth.
I think that's pretty good.
Understood, but no one has gone on the record in the family, actually.
Yes, she has. Actually, Giselle has very much gone on the record. Several times.
During Tom versus Time, she said
this is what she said.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just want, you know, he tells me, I love it so much and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
Yeah,
she went to Brian Hoyer and tried to get him to convince him to quit. She's gone to other players and tried to convince him to quit.
But she's since backtracked on that. She has. She was asked about it.
Well, yeah, because Brady's like, will you please cut it out?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine
Tom sat her down and said, look, you can't be doing this. It makes my life much more difficult if you do this.
Yeah, I would imagine that with the money they have, that she would like him not to be doing this anymore for a myriad of reasons.
So your scenario, if Robert Kraft doesn't step in, because you think it will only hurt the situation.
Yes.
You think that it will ultimately, the way you described it, will ultimately lead to them bringing in a quarterback, there being in the draft, there being somewhat of a power struggle, like, Tom, you don't play, we'll play this guy, and then Tom ultimately leaving.
No, I don't think that Tom Brady's going to leave, and I think he has a position of where he can say F you and leave. But if he wants to play football, there's no other option for him. He's got to play in New England.
Yeah, short of a trade. Yes, that's true.
I don't think that they're going to. I mean, he can't. I don't. No. There's no
Kraft
way he can
will
force.
Never sanction that to happen. No. Never. No.
But what makes you think Tom would just be, all right, cool, I'll play and not get anything that I want? I won't get more money and I won't get Alex Guerrero access.
The question that
because
no
obviously
one knows
he's
the
playing,
answer to
he's playing hardball right
is
now.
Is it fatigue? Is it time? Is he finally realized that he wants to spend more time with family? Or is it like I think it is? Pay me. Gronk, I mean, look, I've done my bit for mother and country now for 17, 18 years. Pay me. I have one contract left. I want my contract extension. I don't want to be ranked 20th in the NHL in base salary, 20th in the NFL in base salary among quarterbacks.
And you think being paid is enough?
The best there ever has been.
Now, Alex Guerrero access has nothing to do with it.
Okay, but
factor that in.
Okay, but if they don't let Alex Guerrero in, Tom Brady retires. Then Tom Brady retires. He obviously doesn't want to play football that badly. And then they have to make contingency plans. And, you know, they would like to have Tom Brady, but if... There's no way that Belichick's allowing Guerrero in again. There's no way he's going to cave to that. And Kraft has already screwed everything up by placating Tom Brady and doing this Garoppolo trade. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, I just, you know, I'm a frequent listener, and I'm surprised that I haven't heard anyone bring up the fact that Coach Belichick dealt Garoppolo is kind of a kick in the marbles to Brady to begin with.
I think it's a kick in the marbles to Kraft.
To Belichick. I thought it was a kick
where he traded him.
Oh.
It's that he wanted him to have
six. To his hometown.
Yeah, no,
oh,
no,
I don't think that. You're talking about the value that they got back.
No. He traded him, and we know this for a fact, that because John Lynch said as much. Tom Brady, this is a fact. Belichick traded Brady. He did not have discussions with any traded Garoppolo. He did not have any conversations with another team. He didn't.
And he had people begging, apparently, if you believe the stories like in Cleveland.
That is a fact, mm-hmm. that he only called John Lynch. And that the reason he wanted him to go to San Francisco is because he wanted him to succeed. Now, does he have a warm spot in his heart for Jimmy Garoppolo? No. Did he eat like just like every other player that was good for the Patriots that he's gotten rid of?
See, I think he did in the fact that he wanted him to be the successor.
Well,
I think he spent all that time grooming him.
Of course he did. But he traded him to San Francisco specifically because of the coaching situation there and that he believed he could thrive. And the reason he did that was to say, screw you to Kraft and go look. And then, you know. That in, you know, 1 or 2 years, if San Francisco becomes a decent team and Garoppolo lights it up, he can turn around to Kraft and grab his nuts and say, double freedom rockets. Look what you made me give away. I mean,
I just got that visual in my head. I'm sorry. That's why I think that's funny.
Yeah, then he would say,
that's cool with me.
I got a couple friends who walk around grabbing their nuts.
I'm sitting here holding my sack.
So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
Oh. Because I watch him pee.
is the deal?
All right, Mr. Robert Kraft. What's the deal? Do you got something for me, Mr. Robert Kraft?
My man Mark did that once, but he corrected.
Okay, appreciate it.
I always buy him lemonades.
Right. That's a great story. All
are
right.
We prepared to reveal?
Yes, you are. What, are you going to open up your robe and show the world what's doing? Yeah,
is the deal.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All